you for the Tomiko Cheltenham Gold Cup. Special Tiara wins the Queen Mother Champion Chase at the fourth attempt.
One for Arthur, it's holding on, brilliant, and it's one for Scotland.
This is the race that I've always wanted to win. This is the race that's in my heart.
One flight to go, Noel Feely can wait no more.
This is Love the Jumps Extra from the Jockey Club.
Hi, I'm Abby Sawyer and welcome to Love the Jumps Extra. This week, our roving reporter Bobby Beavers has been chatting to top Northern trainer Donald McCain.
So Donald, fantastic to be here at your yard. Does it always shine here at your yard? Because the sun is shining, say it's a winter's day.
I'd love to say yes, but no, it rains plenty. But no, not the worst day in the world, that's for sure.
And how are you? Are you keeping well? Life all good?
Yeah, really good. Getting stuck into the season's kicking on now. I'm starting to get a few horses run. So yeah, it's busy and it's enjoyable.
Well, I don't want to ask you a few questions because I'm intrigued to know, you know, that the real Donald McCain, you know, would it be fair to say that your love of racing was inherited from your father?
Yeah, I mean, as a family, look, we've never known anything else, have we? From when we was tiny, Redrum lived outside the kitchen door and we lived on site, and it's not a job, it's a way of life. We've been there the whole time, and it's probably taken for granted a little bit, to be honest, because I've never had to get a proper job.
And what is your favourite meeting that you like to attend?
Look, I'm Bangor's my local track, and I'm a big fan of Bangor. I grew up going to Haydock and things like that. But when you've been to, I think every year when you've been to the Cheltenham Festival, etc., and you turn up on the first day of Aintree, I think it's a very, very different feeling and very special meeting, the national meeting.
And you mentioned the Cheltenham Festival there. You've had a couple of winners, a fair few winners, to be fair, over the years at the Cheltenham Festival, plus a Grand National win as well, 2011 with Bala Briggs. In all the races you've won, which has been your most memorable, would you say?
The most memorable, in a funny way, was the one before I took the licence, was Ambley House. We obviously, things weren't going that well at the time, when we had one good horse. My wife, Shan, she looked after him. I rode him out every day. Dad trained him and found him and that sort of stuff. And it was all hands to the pump, and we had one chance at having a really big day. And we made, if I like to say so, we made a fantastic job of it, you know, and it was a very special day.
And Ambley House as well, if I've got this right, still holds the record to be, as it stands at the moment, the last horse to win the Beach Chase and go on to win the Grand National. No, nobody's done that since Ambley House.
No, well, the year he won the National, he just got beat in the Beach Chase. He won it the year before and didn't get in the National. But not winning the Beach Chase the year he won the National probably won it, because he got to the front too soon in the Beach Chase and just got done. So Graham and I decided we had one chance at getting there late, and it worked really well. It's amazing how things turn out.
Who was your childhood heroes, Donald, in the world of racing?
John Joe Neal. Yeah, massive fan. He was, Pigeon was my favourite horse, and Dad was very good friends with John Joe and so on, and used to ride for him even when he was a conditional and so on. So, and I'd have to say John Joe, he's a great man and a lovely man as well, you know.
Have you got any ambitions left in your career? Is there any race that you desperately want to win?
I've been second in two champion hurdles. I'd love to win a champion hurdle, which sounds a bit strange coming from me, but like I say, growing up, I think apart from Grand Nationals, it was always Sea Pigeon, Night Nurse, Monksfield, Pollardstown, all those sort of things. And to have two horses run so well, especially Peddlers, to just get done by Hurricane Fly in his first year of winning it. I spent the next few years driving in, watching the past winners and realising how close I'd got. So that's one I'd like to win.
And what would you say has been your proudest achievement to date?
Oh, well, look, it has to be a Grand National, doesn't it? It goes without saying, you know. It's very, and to do it, at the time, we didn't realise how long Dad was going to be around, but to do it while he was here as well was special.
And who do you admire in racing? And why do you admire these people you're going to mention? You can't say yourself.
No. No, difficult one. And you know what? It's really corny, I suppose. But I've worked for a few people and I've worked for some great trainers. But I'd like to think I learned as much as any of them off my old man. He was a survivor and he never had the chance to, well, on the small occasions he had the chance to prove what he could do, he got it done. And lots of people can train bad. Lots of people can train good horses, but bad horses or problem horses take a bit of dealing with. And I'd say I'd learned as much as anything off him as anyone. Mm. Admire, don't really know, but say he was a huge help to me the whole way through. You know.
And just talking about your dad as well, the great Ginger McCain. You know, to grow up and have a dad to, you know, to make history by training one horse to win three Grand Nationals. That must have been something special as a child growing up.
Well, it was sort of just before my time. I was only six when he won his last one, but we grew up with the story of Red Rum, if you know what I mean. And yeah, look, I say people say you're lucky your dad was there to get where you are, but I wouldn't have been doing this job otherwise. So yes, I mean, it's got us in awful lot of places we probably shouldn't have got, and we'll always appreciate it.
And what do you think to Northern Jumps Racing, you know, as a whole, as the industry? What in your opinion do you think to the Northern Jumps?
Well, I'm a Northern Jumps trainer, and the one thing I'd like to be is the leading trainer in the North every year, if possible, numerically, etc. We've done it for the last few years, I would say, but it's a very different feel, the North of England. There's some real diehard supporters of Northern Racing. Every meeting you go to, you meet the same people, and they're proper good, tough jumping Northern tracks and so on. It's struggling, you know. The world's getting smaller. People are more inclined to travel, and horses run in the North from down south and that sort of stuff. But that's not an issue. We've just got to... I get slightly frustrated sometimes with some of the Northern trainers that they don't get stuck in and take him on and send them back down the motorway, if you know what I mean. They'd sooner complain about it and do nothing about it. On occasions, I would say there's some of the Northern tracks that haven't really helped. You know, there's some great grade one Northern tracks that don't really put the racing on to possibly encourage people to have a certain type of horse in the North of England. But at our end, we'll do our best. You know, there's some great trainers up there, and with Malcolm Jefferson, Harvey Smith, Brian Ellison, etc. Those sort of people, you know. We'll just do our best and keep driving on.
I know it's very competitive, and every trainer will send the horse where they think that they've got the best chance. What do you think, in particular, to trainers based in the South sending the horses, you know, up to the Northern tracks, if you like?
Like I say, I don't have a massive issue with it. I say the one thing that I try to do a bit if I can is not give them an easy ride when they come up, you know. And I get a little, like I say, a bit frustrated sometimes that some of the other ones would sooner complain about it and not actually take a punt, because if you don't take them on, they're gonna keep coming up, you know. Look, it's say the motorways are getting shorter. It's a small world, and people. I'm lucky because I can travel south as well. So you know. They'll go anywhere to win races. That's nobody's fault. That's the industry. But you've got to be competitive and not make it easy.
And we know what happened a couple of years ago when you lost a fair few horses. Let's say, I don't know, how did that feel to lose quite a lot of your horses? What was it like in that current period of time?
I think it was the 12 months before that were the most difficult. It was getting harder and harder to keep people happy and so on. And you know what? From the day it happened, you're very hard on yourself and think you're doing everything wrong. But I sat down and spoke to all my other owners and told them what was happening the day it happened. Mm-hmm. And to be perfectly honest, I came away realizing what a great bunch of owners I've got you know, what a good job I'm in. So from the day that they went, it sounds a bit silly now, but it was like a breath of fresh air, you know. It wasn't something I could do. I was training 140, 150 winners a season, mm-hmm. and you're on a treadmill that everything has to win, and there's, look, we're under pressure anyway. It is what it is. That's part of the job. But you've got to be under the right pressure. And when it happened, it was a release.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever... Was there ever, should I say, an element of doubt? Was you doubting yourself?
Oh, 100% I was. I'm not particularly proud of the way I handled the whole thing. And I think we say we can all deal with pressure and we all know what we're doing. But when you're being told every day by certain quarters that everything you're doing is wrong, it starts getting in your head, you know? And it took for them to go and to sit down and realise I've now, in not that long a time, trained over 1,000 winners in this place. So we must have been doing something right. And as I said, to speak to my other owners and regroup and go again and in a funny sort of way, it's like I say, it's a breath of fresh air, and I'm enjoying my job now more than I ever have.
Would, if there was a magic clock where we could turn back the time, would you have done things differently, would you say?
I would have done a couple of things differently. I don't know if it's with regards to my job, no. I'd have done it exactly the same. Look, we had some horses that were under the weather for a period of time. We never got a summer to change things. And I think from the start of post the horses going, I think we proved the horses of touch would have been good nick and been running consistently well ever since, you know. So, you know, I'd possibly have backed myself a bit more and stood up for myself a little bit more.
And how hard was it, you know, to start saddling those winners again, getting your horses back in the winners' enclosure? You know, how did it feel? You know, what effect did it have on yourself?
Well, like I say, we just say we're no frills. We just stuck our heads down. The staff were fantastic, and we got on with it. And you know, the horses started winning relatively soon. What we didn't have, when you're building your team up. I had some old horses and I had some very young horses, but the whole middle section of horses that we'd educated and trained for the long haul to be quality staying chasers, etc., that whole middle section was gone. So, to be honest, we were just short of fresh faces and young horses. That's what it came down to.
On a brighter note, you have two daughters who are doing exceptionally well in the saddle. You must be a very proud father of Abby and Ellie.
I am, yeah. It's and I'm getting great kick out of it. That, you know, they're riding a good few winners now, and getting to ride for some really good trainers, and in the lady amateur races on the flat, etc. They seem to be coming really popular. They're only young. They're only just turned 18 and 16. So for it to happen so quickly is magic. But I say there was a lot of time when I never used to get to spend. When you're spreading yourself very thin, spend a huge amount of time enjoying that side of thing. But it's one of the biggest kicks I get out of the job now is watching them and watching them wipe each other out at the race course and that sort of thing. It's good fun.
And, you know, in the next month or so, we've got some really big meetings coming up. We've got the Betfair Chase at Haydock towards the back end of November. On December the 9th, we've got the Beecher Chase meeting, a big meeting at Aintree. Are you likely to have any runners on at those meetings? Is anything in the book, if you like, anything planned for any of your horses to run at those meetings?
Not really, no. I mean, we've got a few. The next few weeks will tell us differently. We've got a grand bunch of horses, and there's one or two that can go and compete on big days at the moment and so on, but we'll try and have runners there. Of course we will, because they're local tracks and so on. But I say we're still just a bit short of those sort of young, improving handicap chasers because of what happened and so on, you know. But we're getting there slowly. And I say there's a few horses floating around that are doing the job really well, and we're not complaining.
Donald, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you here on the Love the Jumps podcast. Thank you for speaking to me and being so open about everything. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for your time.
No problem.
This is Love the Jumps Extra, brought to you by the Jockey Club, putting all profits back into British racing.